the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. I'm Eric Larson, and I'm here today once again with Mr. Nolan Stapleton, our Corn Verification Program Research Associate.
I'm glad to be here, and today we're going to talk a little bit about the stage that we're seeing in the corn right now.
As we mentioned last time we did a show, I guess, we've got a wide range in corn planting dates in the state for the most part, but most of the corn is now past tasseling stage, and the majority of the corn is probably going to be from milk to dough stages. We maybe have a few early planted fields that are reaching dent stage now, and we'll talk more about that later, but most of the corn I would classify as being in the middle of the corn reproductive stages from R3 to R4 or the milk and dough stages.
And how do these stages affect the crop at this point?
Well, the biggest thing right now is that once you hit milk stage or that roasting ear stage, your kernels are not really fully developed, but the kernels are developing. And you've determined the number of kernels at that initial milk stage of development. So what you've got right now in terms of kernels on those ears is what will be there at harvest time for the most part. So you've gone through the most sensitive time period to stress, and you've determined kernel number at this point relative to the growing conditions that we've just went through.
So we know that the kernel number is being determined right now, but what factors are going to affect the kernel field right at this stage?
Well, the things that will affect that and you know, primarily related to kernel number, but we get a lot of questions from consultants and folks out looking at the corn right now, and they pull the ear back and they see some kernels, particularly on the tip of the ear, that are not filling out. And the first thing I'll say is that that is not a pollination problem, and that's commonly what folks refer to it as, but those kernels up at the tip of the ear naturally abort when that ear and that plant does not have sufficient energy to support filling out all those kernels. And there's a number of reasons why that may occur. It may be because certain hybrids develop a really large ear, what you might call a luxury ear size, and they're not really going to fill out or don't have the potential to fill out all those kernels. Or you may have some environmental factors that are limiting the photosynthetic rate of the plant, which greatly impacts the energy available for those kernels at this specific stage. And those factors, those environmental factors, could be as simple as light. The cloudy days that we've been having recently limit the amount of light that will affect the photosynthetic rate of the plants. The other major environmental factor that has a dramatic effect on kernel number and kernel fill in general is your nighttime temperatures. Higher nighttime temperatures increase the respiration rate of the plant. And that's important because respiration is the process that that plant uses to maintain its physiological processes, basically. And the higher the temperatures are, the more energy it expends in that respiration process, which reduces the amount of energy that's available for those ears to fill out as many kernels and as much kernel size as possible. So when we have lower nighttime temperatures, and normal nighttime temperatures for Mississippi are generally going to be, you know, 70 to 72 degrees. So we'd like the temperatures to be in that range. When it's warmer than that, we have a lot of humidity like we've had lately, that's going to increase for respiration rates and have a negative impact on corn yield potential.
And from a management standpoint, what should we be doing right now?
Probably the biggest thing relative to growth stage that's changed in the last couple of weeks is as that corn matures during these reproductive growth stages, the water use is moderating. It's not just changing dramatically, but it is decreasing a little bit. And what I say a little bit is generally an irrigation cycle is going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of probably 7 to 10 days during peak water use from shortly prior to tassel until milk stage. Now that we're getting past milk stage, the water consumption of the plant is going to drop off a little bit and lengthen that irrigation interval by 2 to 4 days, depending upon soil texture and that sort of thing. And we've learned this, I guess, with the soil sensor, the soil moisture sensors that we've utilized for numerous years now in our corn verification program. And that's one of the things that having that technology and having that resource there to log all that data, we've learned that indeed the corn plant's water use needs are following the bell-shaped curve that all the textbooks show, and that we can actually apply that. And using this technology, of course, we can monitor soil moisture development or soil moisture levels in the profile and what the crop has available to it. But, you know, if you don't have soil moisture sensors, we can reliably say that, you know, if you do have a full amount of soil moisture in your profile right now, you can expect to have a, you know, if you were using an 8 or 10 day irrigation schedule 2 weeks ago, you can add 2 to 3 days of that for this next irrigation cycle.
And we have quite a bit of dry land corn in the state as well. So how should those producers be managing their crop at this point?
Well, I guess, you know, we hear a lot of things, coffee shop talk about, you know, us being 7 days away from a drought. And that may be true, or it may have been true a couple of weeks ago when we were at tassel stage and maximum water use, but that's no longer true. We certainly have more leeway there in terms of resources available to the plant because it's not using as much water.
And at this point in the year, what should we be scouting for in the crop?
I'm going to keep on the soil moisture topic right here and start with that and then come back to a few things. But we always carry a sharpshooter shovel and a soil auger or soil probe or something to evaluate soil moisture in the profile. And it's really eye-opening what you see when you start truly evaluating what's going on underneath the soil surface. And this can apply to both dry land and irrigated fields. Depending upon your soil texture, soil compaction levels, irrigation or rainfall amounts, all those things greatly impact water infiltration into the soil from this rainfall and irrigation events that we've been having lately. And for example, if you have a soil, some of our sandy soils that crust, we call them ceiling soils, and we have difficulty getting good water infiltration on those soils. And if we have 3 or 4 tenths of rainfall on a field that wets that soil surface up top, we can have additional rainfall or irrigation coming behind that. And because that soil is wet up on top, that moisture is going to impede infiltration of subsequent rainfall or irrigation coming behind that. So that's going to limit the infiltration and cause a significant dry layer somewhere in the profile where that water is not able to, you know, soak into the soil basically. So you can have some significant rainfall events and not really be getting soil moisture into the soil where it's available for that plant to sustain it for, you know, 10 to 15 days like we'd really like to have right now. So it's important to poke around that soil below the soil surface so that you actually see what your situation is so that you can actively manage that crop. And the soil moisture sensors, once again, do a very good job of keeping us up to speed with what's going on. But we can also use these tools to basically confirm what the moisture sensors are showing us, or really open our eyes if we've never looked below the soil surface to see what's going on and how it relates to crop needs during the growing season. The other things that we should be looking for, you know, a lot of things pest related, primarily, you know, looking for diseases right now is of high importance. We naturally avoid many disease issues in the Mid-South because we're rotating corn and we do not have a lot of no-tillage cropping systems, which encourage some of our leaf blights, northern and southern leaf blight, gray leaf spot, and a lot of diseases that overwinter on corn residue. But southern rust is a disease that is a serious threat. It's coming from regions out of Central America, or is, you know, a disease coming into the area that's blowing into the area relative to wind and climate and particularly tropical storms. So we need to stay on top of that one and make sure that the crop stays as clean as possible or We can put out a fungicide application if necessary for things like that. But we can also look for insect issues, of course, and reflect on what kind of weed control we got this growing season. You know, if we have some morning glories or something that escaped an earlier herbicide application, we need to be prepared so that we can control those during the harvest aid type time frame before they get completely out of hand and make harvesting really difficult. We should also evaluate the crop health in general. Nutrient deficiencies may be apparent at this time, and they'll usually show up on the lower leaves first. So various nutrients have different types of symptomology, and we'd be happy to help you out with that if you run into something that you're not familiar with, whether it's nitrogen or any other nutrients in the system. Any of those can limit your yield potential. So we want to evaluate those through field scouting, use tissue sampling as needed, I guess, to confirm what you're actually looking at, and try to make changes in your system so that you have more yield potential or realize your full yield potential in the future going forward.
So in summary, this is a very important stage that the crop is in right now, and we should still be out there continuing to evaluate soil moisture as well as pest issues with disease as well as nutrient deficiencies.
Yeah, we're a little bit in a downhill slide as far as growth and development of the corn crop, which is a good thing, but certainly it's still an important time period, and there's a lot to learn and a lot to gain in terms of doing a better job of managing our corn crop going forward. So very important time period. Thank you once again for your interest in joining us with the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. Be sure and subscribe to the podcast and check out our Mississippi Crop Situation blog as well. And we look forward to joining you in the future once again.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.